Once again, I want to thank the men for the great way they lead us in worshiping God. Good to see you, friends. I told you last year that every so often I'd like to examine a song that we sing from time to time to help us better understand it and better impress the thought on us when we do sing it. Of course, that's a Bible pursuit, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14. Whether we pray or sing, we need to make sure we know what we're saying and we understand it as we offer it up to God. In verse 15, he says, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." That's what is meant to worship God in spirit and truth, that we offer him worship according to his will in truth, but we do it from the heart with understanding, with meaning, and with purpose. So it's not something that's rote or just simply a vain repetition. It's something intentional. And it's something we mean, and it's something that affects us and is sincere and according to his will. And the song I'd like for us to examine is one that most of us know fairly well, number 395. I'm not sure yet if we're going to sing it or not. It depends on how things go. But it is a song that I think most of us are familiar with in talking about a beautiful life. You know, a life that has been well lived and a life that is meaningful and makes a difference in this world. And that, of course, should be something that all of us are interested in, that he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. And that's what Peter says in 1 Peter 3 about a good life. And I think we all want to live a good life. I think we all want to live a life that's meaningful and a life that is beautiful as we are here. And I think that's what this song talks about. And as the first verse mentions, is each day I will do a golden deed, is what the song says. Now again, we need to offer it according to understanding and spirit. So what's that mean, a golden deed? Is it referring to the golden rule? That's what I think of. I don't know if that's exactly what the author meant, but it makes sense. As Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 12, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And we call that the golden rule because it can't be surpassed. That it's the crowning motive in how we deal with people, that we treat them with respect and honor and dignity and love and mercy. And we treat them the way we want to be treated, in a respectful manner. That's a golden rule, which again is worthy of further examination another time. And I think that's what the song's getting at. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. And that seems to tie really well with the golden rule. And certainly that is a golden or noble way to live. But let me ask you, what makes the golden rule so golden? Why do we call that the ultimate way to treat people? Why is it just surpassing in everything else? And I think it would be because when you love people the way Jesus tells us to love people, when we have the love of God in our heart toward other people, it cannot be surpassed in how we treat people. For instance, as Jesus says in his ministry, that when we do good, we're to do so with proper motive. And he says that you and I should be so committed to serving other people and sharing and doing good, that we're so committed to that pursuit that we do it even when we don't get anything in return for it. That we have this ultimate love for people and we're willing to share even when we're not blessed immediately in return. That's what he says in Luke chapter 6 in verse 34 and 35. "If you lend to those who from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Well, that's surpassing. You know, that's in a category by itself. When I'm willing to love somebody who hates me, or I'm willing to do good to them and not return evil for evil, or I'm willing to share with them. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. That's profound. That's different. But as we're singing, that's golden. That's a golden way to live. When you share with people and don't want anything in return because you genuinely care about them and you genuinely love them. And that's why we're here. God is looking for a group of people who are willing to be set free from sin, right? To redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. People who are passionate about this. Doing good while we're here. In Luke chapter 17, it says it this way, in talking about credit for what we do. And he says in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. That's a good way of looking at it. We do good because that's what we've been called to do. We're good people because we imitate a good God, a merciful God, who is so kind and so loving. And that's what we're to do each day. Now that's what it says. Don't say it if you don't mean it, right? Each day, not just on Thursdays, not just on Monday. Every day, I'm looking for an opportunity to do good, to bless other people. Whatever that is, especially in the realm of sharing and generosity. And again, I'll share even if they can't do anything for me in return. Golden, golden way to live. I think of growing up, there was this man that from church who just profound impact on me. Because of his example, because of his love, his humility, his wisdom, his faith, his interest in me, encouraging me to do the right thing. But he was a man who lived it. Tremendous impact on me. But he was a man who was very successful, but he was also very generous. And his son, same age as me, was telling me about a time when his father took some food to one of the tenants. They had some rental property as well. And he knew that one of the tenants wasn't doing well. The bills weren't being met and they were struggling. And so he got together a box of food to take it over to this woman with young children. And my friend was telling me that the father invited his son to go with him. And I think because he wanted his son to see what it means to serve. And so my friend said that when they went in, the kids were so excited to have some food, and that when they pulled out a jar of peanut butter from that box, that the kids were just jumping up and down for peanut. Now, I can understand that. I still do that today. Peanut butter, yeah, I got you. I understand. But that they were just so excited to have that. And obviously, the father brought the son to show him what it means to serve, but just that example has affected me, hearing about that all these years. Well, that should be me and you. Jesus says, even if it's just a cup of cold water, serve, share, do good. It's noble. It's a grand way of living. And that's exactly how this song is encouraging us to live. Well, the song goes on that we're not just going to do it every day now. Every day, I'm going to do a golden deed. Don't say it if you don't mean it. But then it goes on to say that we're going to let our light shine. That we're going to let our example show people how to live for God. So to be a child of God each day, I must let my light shine. I cannot snuff it out. Going back to this song at verse 2, to be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the way. I'll sing his praise while ages roll and strive to help some troubled soul. It's a lot to say. That's a lot to promise God as we're offering this to him. But this song is saying, okay, God, I'm up to the challenge. I'm up to the challenge of living different in this world, set apart just for you. And just like the moon is not the source of light, it reflects the light. And so are you and I. We are not the source of truth. We reflect the truth. We reflect righteousness. We reflect God in how we live. And so in this song, we are making a vow to God to let our light shine, to be a shining light in this world by showing people how to be godly, what it means to have love and mercy, yes, but also what it means to be pure and holy and righteous in serving God. Now here's how Paul says it in Ephesians, that you and I are to live as light, that we are light in this world. In Ephesians it says, in chapter 5, verse 8 beginning, you were once darkness, we understand that. We used to live for ourselves in sin, we understand that. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, I chose the image of a lighthouse to relate to. I know we have all seen one, or at least seen pictures of one. You're seeing one now, a lighthouse. But what makes a lighthouse so effective? Why is a lighthouse so important to travelers? And at night, obviously, it has a purpose. And that is, it's to show people where the coast is, to guide them to safety in the storm or as they're coming in to the harbor. It's a guiding light. It's a guiding post for those who are lost and those who are wondering. But it's effective because it is standing out in contrast to the darkness. Now, what good is a lighthouse if it's blending in with the darkness? What's the point? So the significance of light is the contrast, that it's surrounded by darkness, but it's standing out. And as a result of standing out, it's leading people to safety. Now, friends, that's all intentional language. You used to be darkness. You used to be blending in the world of immorality, but now you've got to stand out. Now you've got to stand out, as he talks about, in righteousness and truth. We're different. And so if you and I are living with the idea of somehow blending in without making any enemies in this world or not offending anybody, well, then we're missing our point, our purpose as Christians. We're to shine. We're to be different in a moral sense where God is different. Obviously, we should be willing to not, I thought of this. You look at, on the road, we have yellow lines that divide each section of the road. Why are they yellow? Or why are they white even for the outer edge? But why is it yellow? What would be the point if that line was painted black as the asphalt? Where's the safety in that? The way that line helps us is because it stands apart. It's different. It doesn't blend in with the road. There's a contrast there. And my point is that as you and I are here, we have to be different in the way we talk, in the way we dress, in the way we live, in the way we treat one another, in the way we treat our enemies, in the way we respond to adversity, in the way we approach morality. We can't just blend in and still be a guiding light to the world. Notice this, what Paul says in Romans 13. Here's how different you're to be. How different are you and I to be? Here's how different we should be. We don't drink. That's how different we are. Peter says that they will think you strange that you don't drink and run with them in the same flood of dissipation. Well, listen, we used to blend in darkness, but now we stand out because we don't do what everybody else does. We respond differently to the invitation to drink, especially for recreational purposes. And friends, our world is eat up with this stuff, and you know it is. But Romans chapter 13 says you've got to be different when it comes to something like this. In Romans chapter 13, it says in verse 12 beginning, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." So that there's a lot of differences there. But my goodness, why are more and more Christians drinking? Why? Why are we compromising? Why are we blending in to the world? Peter says you cannot do these things. Paul says it right here. You can't do these things. Put away drunkenness, revelries, and drinking part. It's every aspect of social drinking or recreational drinking. Don't do it. Stay away from it. And yet, there are Christians who are convinced that it's okay to social drink, to get a little drunk. Not all the way, but just a little bit. You know, would we let our bus driver drive our children around after a few, just a little drunk? Not completely, but just a little bit. Would we let the pilot fly us home after just a little bit? Not completely wasted, but just, you know, go down the list. Doctors, whatever. Preachers, will you let me get in the pulpit after a few? I know it sometimes looks like it's happened, but it doesn't happen that way. But would you? Would you let me knock a few back right now? Would it offend you? Friends, listen, we've got to be different. We've got to stand separate and apart and let our light shine. That's why a lighthouse is effective. That's why the yellow line's effective. That's why we've been called to be holy. And the time to do it is now. If you and I are going to live for God and be different and pass the test, you know, we can talk smack all day long. Yeah, I'll do this. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, well, the test is here. You're in a world of darkness. Will you stand apart? Will you be different? Will you be willing to be rejected for the Lord? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 said, we have a good study going on in the college class on Ecclesiastes. And we're in chapter 9, he says, look, you better do it now. If you're going to do something good, you got to do it now while you have time and opportunity. I'll just jump to verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. And so he says in this song, we'll let our light shine. And I believe that's something important for us to think about across the board, especially in loving other people. Well, he goes on to say in this song, the only life that will endure is one that's good and kind and pure. And so he's pointing out the really good observation that really the only life that really makes a difference, a beautiful life, is a life of service, of helping other people. And that's what the song is saying. Verse 3, the only life that will endure is one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God, I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. So it's going back to the idea of service. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, when a person serves and shares, they stand out. Certainly they stand out. But they make a difference in people's lives. And I've said it before, and I'm sure you've heard it said before. You know, you go down the list. Can you name the five richest people in the world? Some of us might be able to, but most of us probably can't. Can you name the last five best motion pictures in the Academy Awards? I don't know. Go down the list. Can you name the last five Olympic gold medalists in swimming? I don't care. Track and field, whatever. I mean, can we do that? It's a struggle for most of us to name people who have accomplished things like that. But listen, can you name five people who made a profound difference in your life? Can you name those five? Yeah, we can spout them off all day long. Well, why? Why can we remember them? It's because they were people who took an interest in us, and they helped us, and they loved us, and they cared for us. And that's what this song is saying. That's the life that will endure. That's the lasting memory, is a person who invests in other people and is willing to share and serve and lift up. Acts chapter 9 is a good example of this, where you had Dorcas pass away. In Acts chapter 9, it says in verses 36 through 39, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming. Then Peter arose and went with him. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. And that's true. You know, who's the person who's going to make a difference? It's the person who actually shares and does and helps and lifts other people up. That's the life that will endure. That's the name that lasts, that makes a difference. It's the person who helps other people, especially in their trials. Here's what Romans says. In Romans chapter 12, in reminding us of our calling, Jesus says, okay, my duty is to lift you up, to build you up, to encourage you, to let you get the promotion, to let you get the praise, to let you get the help. In Romans chapter 12, it says this in verse 9, beginning, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor or giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And that's exactly right. Who's the Christian who's going to be remembered? It's the woman who is willing to help other people. It's the man who is willing to share his resources with other people. That's the person who makes a difference. And that's what we say in this song, and I hope we mean it. Let me go one more point, if you would, please, in that song, and that is, life's sun is sinking low. That's not necessarily a verse, but it's in the chorus, and it's repeated throughout the song. In other words, we need to be doing this now. Time's running out, okay? We got to do this now. Live like this now. Going back to that song, life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done where there will be no setting sun. And so if I'm going to do this, I got to do it now. I've got to be a person committed now, even tonight, looking for ways I can encourage other people, but especially every day, looking for ways to serve. Why? Why should I be so concerned about serving other people? Well, the Bible says that that's obviously the best way to live. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So you serve everybody, but especially your brethren, that brotherly love in lifting up other people. But why? Why should I be so passionate about this? Well, as this song is pointed out, we're running out of time. We just don't have a lot more time to be living. We need to dedicate ourselves now to this. I came across a quote of a preacher from the 1800s. Wonderful thought. Here's what he said. Beloved, have you ever thought that someday you will not have anything to try you or anyone to vex you again? There will be no opportunity in heaven to learn or to show the spirit of patience, forbearance, and long-suffering. If you were to practice these things, it must be now. And I think he was right. If we're going to do this, it's now. Life's evening sun is sinking low. I mean, we should have started this yesterday, is what that means. We've got to be about it now, serving and sharing and preparing for the judgment to come. Because it is passing very quickly. Life is a vapor. And then, of course, not only is it's a vapor with consequences. And we have to answer for all the things we've done. In Romans chapter 14, here's how it says this in verses 10 through 12. Romans 14 says, "Why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." And that's a good way of looking at this. Okay, and so I share this song with you. I'm going to try this because our brother, I appreciate Gary, but he didn't feel comfortable leading, and I still don't, I'm not sure I do either. But I do want us to impress this song on us. And I wasn't sure if I was going to do it or not. That's why I didn't include it right now. So you got to do it the old-fashioned way of getting out the book. And we'll just sing the first and third verses. 395, if you would, please. And again, let it be something we think about and offer to God. This is a promise we're making to God. Okay, this is a commitment we're making to Him. So let's just sing verses 1 and 3, if you will, please. "Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the dean that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. The only life that will endure is one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun." Thank you. Appreciate that. And so I share these thoughts with us tonight. You know, we saw this morning in the sermon from Elijah that you got to keep a balance. Emotions are a part of worship. I mean, how can you not experience the mercy of God and get emotional about it? Certainly it's emotional. But as we saw in that story, you have to keep a balance because emotions don't define truth like they were wanting in the idea behind Baal. And so God's going to create faith in us through understanding. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, I say that because the same thing is true with good deeds. Hopefully we've all been impressed with the importance of doing good and sharing and serving. But good deeds alone won't save us from sin. Cornelius was a man who feared God, who prayed, who gave to the poor. But even though he was a man zealous for good works, he wasn't saved. He had to be in Christ to be set free from sin. So he had to learn the gospel and obey it. And I share that with you because you may be a person who is totally committed to helping other people, as we talked about tonight. And that's profound. But let your goodness lead you to God in obedience to the gospel through faith in Jesus as the Son of God, willing to make that confession, Romans 10, 9 and 10, turn away from every sin you know of. Acts 17 and verse 30 says that. And then you are a person who should be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 22 and 16 mentions that. And so if you haven't done that, we sing this song to encourage you to do that. Or if you just need the prayers of the church here or need to respond in any way, would you please do so as we stand and sing.